Today is February 18th, 2015, and this is episode number 294 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, destroyer of worlds. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. Now, if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at acm@macobserver.com.
Hold on, I'm sending an email to acm@macobserver.com asking how your destroyer of worlds. And send. Okay.
Excellent. I will get back to you with a full description or something.
No, you're just going to have...
I'm just going to destroy your world.
Again.
Again, right.
Do you know how many worlds I've had to move to because you keep destroying them?
Many, because I'm destroyer of worlds.
Yeah.
Okay, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, I just call it Wednesday.
Hashtag Brian. right. Well, it's certainly been a
week,
an interesting week since our last show.
Mm-hmm.
That whole Apple Car business kind of blew up.
Yeah, it kind of did.
You know, can I confess something?
Yeah, please do.
I don't often break stories. I do get told a lot of things, and I'm always really, really interested in protecting people's jobs and identities.
And I'm sure they appreciate that.
They do. I other people do this, though, so there's a way to do it. But here's my point. This is like maybe I'm showing how the sausage is being made here, but I don't often break stories. I was a little bit trepidatious, shall we say, about being called an idiot. And of course, lots of our listeners or lots of our readers said I was just flat out wrong. And but that didn't happen. The usual sources within the Mac community that didn't nope me. And then we had mainstream journalism pouring its significant investigative resources into this topic, and they found a lot of
they
fire
totally backed
underneath
up
that
what
smoke.
You were saying. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. They did. Yeah. And so it was rather gratifying. It was actually rather gratifying. So I don't know. Maybe I'll do it again sometime.
I think you should. And of course, with the same class and decorum that you always use so that people don't lose their jobs.
Fair enough. So nonetheless, the story got really big since our last show. What turned into the Business Insider saying they had the Business Insider actually broke the piece. But
I'm assuming only because they type faster than you.
Well, actually,
I know what it really is. You take the time and the effort to verify the information you're getting.
Yeah, I was looking for yet another source of information that I could use.
Right.
To back up, to pin the story on what I already knew. And then Business Insider had someone from Apple saying, someone who claimed to be from Apple, at least, saying that they were working on something, that his group is working on something to give Apple a run for its money, or give Tesla a run for its money. And then, interestingly, when I added my yes, what my sources have told me, and that Apple's been hiring the kind of people you only hire if you want to make cars, that seems to be when the story really took off. And Wall Street Journal, Financial Times of London, and Reuters all had pieces within a few days offering details of what's going on.
So they were suddenly getting insider sources, or so it seems, providing them information after you basically yepped the news.
I did, yeah. I did what Jim Dalrymple usually does, which was yep what Business Insider said. And the and Jim Dalrymple is at Loop Insight, or the Loop as it's usually called, and he has some fantastic sources within Apple.
Yeah, it makes his yeps and nopes.
Yeah, he's always right.
Yeah, he's always right.
He's always right. He didn't yep or nope this one. Either way.
Well, it's not time for him to yep or nope.
Yeah, that's true. It's not. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is, We got all these details. I think some of those details came from within Apple. Dave Hamilton said that he thought that the Wall Street Journal's piece was a controlled leak. He's probably right. A lot of information. Yeah. They had the code name for the car, which is Titan. They said that Apple had a 1,000-member team that was working on this stuff. Financial Times of London said that Apple had hired the guy, the former Mercedes-Benz. He was the CEO of Mercedes-Benz's research and development company.
And that's quite a person to bring on staff.
Well, yeah, company. I guess depending on what it is you're wanting to do, yeah, because, I mean, not necessarily, actually.
Well, okay, because if you're hiring him for general R&D management, that's something he already knows.
That's a good point. That's a good point, but I think it's also pretty clear that Apple is not wanting to, like, go and raid GM and even, you know, BMW. I don't think Apple is looking at raiding the existing automotive industry to put together this to design a new car. And that makes a lot of sense to me because you don't get the people who have not disrupted the market if you want to disrupt the market.
That's a really good point.
Look at the iPhone. Who designed the iPhone? Did Apple hire a bunch of people from Nokia and Samsung
and BlackBerry
and Sony Ericsson and BlackBerry? No, they didn't. They took their team of engineers, designers, and software engineers from the Mac. Mm-hmm. The people who knew the Apple way.
Yeah, and for Apple Watch, the people that they hired, yes, they had experience in health and fitness and wearables.
They actually hired a lot of people from outside, though. But this is interesting. That's a really good point, because Apple didn't go and hire a bunch of people from the smartwatch industry, right? They weren't raiding from, goodness, Motorola and Samsung and Pebble, even, you know, Pebble, which actually has a good product that people like. True. Apple wasn't raiding from those companies. Apple was bringing in people from other industries, from fashion, from jewelry, from the medical industry. Yeah, but they got that guy from Tag. That's a watch guy they got.
Yeah, and they did get fitness people.
They got some.
They hired a handful of people from Nike or Nike, depending on what part of the country you're from.
That is true. That's an interesting point. But they brought in all of these outside people. They brought in all these outside people. Who, oh, golly, is the Apple Watch actually the contradiction to the way the iPhone was developed? Because they actually did bring in people from outside iPhone they didn't. And from this car group, it seems like the vast majority of them are coming from the iPhone group.
Yeah, but they're also bringing in a lot of people from outside, it looks like.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So
So in that sense, iPhone is the outsider for the pattern, and Apple Watch and the car are the new standard.
Part of that is simply because when you're growing as much as Apple is, you have to bring in more people, period.
That's true. I think in that sense, Tim Cook gets that Apple can't run like a startup anymore.
No, Apple's still run like a startup. Man, they've still got fewer than 40,000 people in the U.S.
That's true. However, they're doing hiring in ways that I wonder if they would have under previous management.
I think each team is running lean like a startup. I don't think 1,000 people is a lot of people for a car. I think 1,000 people would have been a crap ton of people to get the iPhone off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But that is a different. There's two different levels of engineering and invention. And there's a lot of physical testing that has to be done with something like a car that demands more people than designing and inventing a smartphone.
That's true. And now you just made me think or realize that I have this morbid curiosity that when Apple gets to the point where they start doing crash tests with their cars,
mm-hmm.
I want to see photos of the Apple car after it's been slammed into a wall.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's and I have no idea why I'm so fascinated in wanting to see that. But there you go.
The hidden recesses of Jeff Gammon's mind.
Yeah, that's probably for the best that they're left hidden.
Maybe. So I don't think Apple is leaving behind the running like a startup mentality. I just think that Apple has so many projects going on that the company is bigger, but if you look on a like per person basis, if you compare, I mean, you know, Microsoft 3 or 4 years ago had 90,000 people working for them, and Apple had 23,000, I think, at that point. Right, and Apple was already much bigger than Microsoft.
Yeah, 90,000 people.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
And who's making the better product? Microsoft had 30,000 people just in sales and marketing. It's like more people than Apple had, period.
And to me, that's just absolutely crazy.
Well, it is crazy, and it's part of, you know, so we've got Apple University. Apple University's a raison d'etre is to institutionalize the culture of innovation at Apple. So it's to institutionalize the Steve Jobs way of innovating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
which does involve a lot of lean and mean.
It's absolutely a big part of it. And Tim Cook is a big believer in Apple University. He's a big believer in that culture of innovation. He's not Steve Jobs in any way whatsoever, but he is a follower of Steve's management style. And I think that even though Apple is doing all these new projects,
what you're saying is they're running each project as if it's a startup company.
Yeah, but there's just a lot of projects now.
Yeah. All right. I will accept that.
And you've got, you know, when the iPhone started, Apple just raided the Mac team. And for a long time, it was the same developers making iOS and OS X.
That's true.
You know, and that's crazy.
I agree.
Those people were working too hard. And that's taking things to an extreme, I think, that's too far. But now with doing something like a car and doing something like Apple Watch, well, you know, you still only have so many members of those original teams available to do stuff. So you've got to start pulling in people, and you even have to start pulling in more people from the other departments within Apple, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the bigger you get, the more projects you're working on, you have to apply more
men
and
women
hours to it. Yeah, you need more bodies. There we go.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, okay, so where I was going with my statement was that I think Tim Cook is more open to bringing on people when they're needed, as opposed to just shuffling people around over and over, which is what we saw with OS X and iOS. They were both being developed by the same people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so now a bunch of people who were making iPhones are now working on this car. Working on this car project, And we know also that Apple has been in talks with, I can't even remember, I can't remember how to pronounce the name, but there's the Foxconn of high-end cars is actually based in Europe. And they're a contract car manufacturer. And what they do is they make high-end cars for, very high-end cars for specialized brands. And so we know that Apple's been talking to them. We know that Apple's hired this guy from Mercedes-Benz. We know that Apple has a 1,000-member team that's based off campus here in the Bay Area. We I knew that Apple was bringing in the kind of people that that you only hire if you're going to make cars. This thing's happening. If you doubt that Apple is making a car, this is, I think I said this on Daily Observations, but I'm going to say it again. If at this moment, with everything we know, if you're doubting that Apple is working on the car, you're doing it wrong.
I think that's pretty much exactly what you said.
All of the information exists to tell us that they're working on a car. And I think that it's our, I think that it is likely going to come to market.
I think Apple is definitely working on a car, and I don't know if I'm quite as confident as you are that it will come to market, but I think it is very likely that it will. I think within the next 5 years, we will see people driving around in cars that have the Apple logo as a hood ornament.
Oh, wouldn't that be sexy?
Yeah, that would.
Be stolen too.
Yeah, but I'm assuming we'll have Find My iPhone for the car, so you can brick your car if someone steals it.
Yeah, I think that Apple would put the I think Apple would put that logo on the hood the same way that that it adorns MacBook Airs and MacBook Pros.
Make it glow.
Well, I don't think it'd be an ornament that sticks up.
Yeah, I know. It'd be something like flat.
Yeah.
And if they do it like they did with their laptop line, the first couple models, they'll put the logo on upside down. So you have to lift the hood up to be right.
It looks right to you as you're driving.
Right.
That was the design philosophy that Steve had.
Yeah, it looks right when you're carrying it around.
Yeah, when you set it down in front of you, it looks the Apple logo is correctly aligned. And the problem is, of course, that everybody, once you open it and start using it, everybody sees it upside. Yeah, Steve was wrong. It's one of the things Steve was wrong about. And he realized that.
Yeah, he did. Eventually. And I'd like to think that he realized he was wrong about the hockey puck mouse.
I would like to think that, too.
Yeah.
Do you think he ever believed in the hockey puck mouse? Do you think he ever actually used one?
Yeah. I don't think it would have come out. I don't think
there is no way there's no way he used that thing, man. Because if he did, it never would have seen the light of day.
I don't know. I can't imagine he wouldn't have, because that was a brand new product line, and he was so deeply interested in that being a success.
God, that thing was a piece of junk.
It was.
It was a piece of junk.
It was one of those things where I just looked at it and I was like, if Apple makes more products like this, doomed.
Yeah, the mouseless button was, you know, the white pill shaped one.
Yeah. What you really meant by that was the buttonless mouse, but
yeah. I call it the mouseless button.
I know. It's crazy like that.
It's a big button. The whole thing is a button.
Yes. Yeah. And
it's not a mouse, it's a button.
Okay, fine. It's a button. And it was a button that had a little ball on the top. That would get all gunked up.
Yeah.
And when I was a consultant, one of the big routine calls I would have is, my mouse doesn't work anymore.
Mm.
And I'd go out, and instead of being a consultant, I was a maintenance guy, and I pull out Q-tips and alcohol and clean off the ball.
Sure.
Oh, good times.
That is good times. Yeah, that was a piece of junk. Although, you know, I still have Minton Box, the one that that is labeled Macworld.
No kidding. You know,
the one that was underneath everybody's seat.
That's really cool.
I never opened it, and I still have it. I remember my mom asked me for it. It's like, well, can I have it? No.
No, Mom, because I hate you.
No, are you kidding? This is like a special mouse that Steve gave me.
And she's like, yeah, but my mouse broke, so can I have it?
Yeah.
Or no, something like
no,
that.
No, the answer is no. Love you, Mom. She's listening.
But not that much.
She listens to our podcast, you know.
Oh. Hi, Mom.
She's awesome that way.
That is cool.
She thinks I'm the bee's knees, just in case you were curious.
This doesn't surprise me at all. I have had some really nice conversations with your mom.
My mom's
and some of those
awesome.
Conversations involved you.
All right. Well, let's change the subject. So,
yeah. So enough about your mom. More about you.
More about the Apple Car, because it's like we predicted. I think it was in a staff meeting. We were saying, like, you know, can't wait for all the people who are going to tell us why it's a mistake for Apple to make this car.
And now we have. What is it? Former CEO of GM saying just that?
Let's see. This is a note we actually had prepared. It's Dan Akerson, retired chief executive officer at General Motors Corporation. Actually had some homework done for our listeners.
And even without the note in front of me, I still got it right.
Yes, you did. Anyway,
I just didn't have his name.
He's exactly. Like the guys, the people who were all telling us what a mistake that it was for Apple to enter the cell phone market.
Yeah, it was almost like reading a Mad Lib, where someone had replaced the fill in the blank noun for phone with the fill in the blank noun car.
It was.
You never did Mad Libs?
I did Mad Libs, yeah.
Okay.
So let's read a quote here. I think somebody is trying to cough up a hairball here. If I were an Apple shareholder, I wouldn't be very happy. I'd be highly suspect of the long-term prospect of getting into a low-margin, heavy manufacturing business. Then he said, a lot of people who don't ever operate in it, meaning the auto industry, don't understand and have a tendency to underestimate. He said, I wouldn't say for Apple, there's more potential in teaming up to healthcare companies. He said, if I would have signed it over to Apple, he said, of his days at GM, I'd have turned over the infotainment and interconnectivity of every GM car. Oh, so it's like he's a fan of Apple. So he's not an Apple. But here's the thing. Those quotes are exactly what people said about the cell phone. And it is...
Yeah,
exactly. It's people like him that are exactly the proof that this industry is ripe for disruption. You can't make any money in it. It's low margin. You know, why bother? You shouldn't even do it because there's just nothing happening here anymore.
Yeah. And you had a really great point, which is, that when we are getting comments like this from a market, that's a big indicator that we now have a market that's ripe for disruption.
Yeah. Yeah. If you were still looking for the reason that Apple would bother to make a car, it's this guy. This guy who's just absolutely convinced nothing can be done here. And here's the fascinating thing about that. What does he think Tesla's doing?
That's a really good question.
Listen, Apple and Tesla aren't going to be competing against each other. Apple and Tesla are going to be competing against Detroit and wherever the heck the German auto industry is based. in Japan. Tokyo. Japan. Wherever the heck the Japanese car industry is. And the Chinese car industry, wherever the heck those people are, that's who Apple is going to be competing with. It's not, this isn't like Apple versus Tesla to duke it out for, like, you know, the top 0.5% of the market or something like that. This is both of these companies are going to be coming in effing S up. we have a family friend.
Yo, effing the S in your face.
They're going to be messing stuff up, and they're going to be taking names, and they're going to be walking out with all the money.
Yeah, I think so. And Tesla, I mean, they've already made it very clear that their master plan includes cars at all price points.
Yes.
So yeah, they're not looking just to sell to people that have so much money that they can go and pay cash for a $80,000 car.
Right.
They want the mere mortals like us to be able to drive a Tesla as well.
That is absolutely true. Now, don't get me wrong. Well, Elon Musk, you know, I think that Elon Musk is in that Steve Jobs vein. I think he's got that sort of vision that Steve Jobs, I don't think he's as good at it as Steve Jobs was. Steve Jobs was pretty darn amazing with his vision about stuff. But Elon Musk is a genius at the very least. And I don't even know that he should be worried about Apple entering this market, because Apple is going to lift this entire market.
I would be surprised if he's concerned about Apple getting into this space. My guess is that he's looking at this as, oh, great, now we have a mainstream champion.
Exactly.
And that's going to make the electric car market more approachable.
It absolutely is. And there's going to be some things that Tesla is probably going to be able to, I mean, there's probably going to be several things that Tesla can do better. Like maybe their focus will be performance, for instance.
Okay.
Right. And anyway, the point is this: Apple's not going to put Tesla out of business here. I don't care if Apple can give Tesla a run for its money, but Tesla is small enough that it could still sell more cars just because Apple is making electric cars the real deal. Where Tesla will end up running into a problem is if and when Apple makes self-driving cars mainstream, because Apple's going to do that, I think, before Google will, believe it or not. And that's an area where
really?
Tesla...
Interesting.
Yeah, Google's got the head start. You want to talk about that?
Sure.
Google's got the head start, for sure. I can't remember where I said it, but in The Innovators, I learned, that's Walter Isaacson's current book, I learned that Larry Page was trying to decide between search engines and self-driving cars when he was working, when he was looking for a topic for his PhD thesis. He also did a project on self-driving cars, I think, in high school. I mean, the man's been interested in self-driving cars for a long time.
No kidding.
And yeah. I mean, like a long time. And he thinks that it's a problem that needs to be solved. He thinks that the world will be a better place with self-driving cars. And this is an area where I mostly agree with him.
Well, considering the way I've seen so many people drive, I think I'd rather have computers out there making these cars go around, at least in most cases.
Yeah,
I'm all for good self-driving cars.
Yeah, I am too. I like to drive. That's my problem.
Yeah, well, driving can be a lot of fun.
Well, driving across country in particular to me is a very relaxing endeavor.
A road trip isn't a functional thing, meaning I have to get from this city to that city. A road trip is part of the experience.
Yes. Terrible segue. We'll be honest. We lost connectivity for a second, but you were saying that you also like road trips, right?
Yes. That's a great distillation of what I just said.
Yay. I didn't hear any of it.
Yeah, but you got the message anyhow, which is I like road trips.
Professionals, people.
Are we there yet?
We are professionals.
Are we there yet?
No, we're not. We still have a ways to go. So, Google's been working on this a while, and Google may even have a head start on the self-driving technology. No, Google does have a head start on the self-driving technology.
Yeah, they actually have cars that are out on the road. So, yes, right. They have a head start.
Right. But I think that, golly, and do I really want to say that Apple's going to do self-driving? Google won't do a self-drive, won't bring a self-driving car to market unless Google partners with an automobile manufacturer. That's what I'll say. Apple's going to have a car on the road first. It's going to be an electric car. And the entire time they're going to be working on self-driving stuff. And they probably have been working on self-driving stuff one way or the other. We know about this minivan that's been driving around with the kind of equipment that can be used for either street views or for getting self-driving data.
You know, the minivan thing, I find it fascinating that there have been news outlets that have said Apple is making a minivan, because they're making a car and they have this vehicle with cameras on it out there.
Isn't that just like the most stupid thing ever?
Yeah. Apple's not going to make a minivan.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. They're not going to make a minivan.
They're sticking this equipment on a minivan. Right. An existing minivan.
Right. And it makes sense because the minivan has the surface space that they needed to mount the cameras in the fashion that they wanted, and you drive it around.
Yeah, it has no bearing whatsoever, either for or against what Apple is actually going to end up making. They bought it off the shelf. It's
They may not have even bought it off the shelf. It might be one of their employees who's like, yeah, let's put the cameras on my car. because they're like a startup.
It could have been. Yeah, but I think that Apple will end up bringing self-driving cars to market before Google. Yeah, I'm going
to
stick with that.
I find that to be a fascinating idea.
And yeah, I think I'm going to stick with that. That's my prediction.
All right. Well, I'm very interested to see if you're right.
And I don't think that Apple's interest here is because Google was doing it. I think that Apple's interest here is that the automobile industry is ripe for disruption.
Well, and if they're disrupting the industry, from my perspective, there are two places you look. You get away from petroleum-based fuel, and you get away from human drivers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, electric car, and then follow that up with a self-driving car.
Mm-hmm. I think that's how it's going to end up going down, and I'm excited about it. This will be.
I'm curious.
Go ahead.
I'm curious where Apple will actually show off their cars, because people are going to want to test drive them. So,
yeah, clearly they're not going to be sticking cars in their existing retail stores.
No, although many of their stores have a Microsoft store that's like practically across the hall and isn't being used for anything else.
It'd be a great way for Microsoft to finally get some people through the doors.
Hi, welcome to Microsoft. Would you like to see the Apple car?
Goodness gracious, I like that idea. Yeah, that's a good point. And then you've got, of course, the state-by-state dealer laws. I mean, there's a lot going on. You know, Tesla struggles with the selling direct to consumers thing. There are a lot of states hate that. A lot of dealers have a lot of lobbying money that they spend fighting that, and it's a state by state nightmare.
Yes, it is. So yeah, so it'll be interesting to see where Apple does end up selling their cars.
Mm-hmm. It will be. Now, there's another piece that the Wall Street Journal brought into this conversation that I think is really interesting. And that's Mark Newsom.
Yeah. You know, the Mark Newsom thing, I find to be very interesting on a couple levels. And at first, because he's friends with Johnny Ive, and he has a really good history as a designer. And
He's a rock star designer.
He's a rock star designer
in the design world. He's a rock star,
Right. And so now he's teamed up with Johnny Ive at Apple. So that's very intriguing. What's he going to come up with? The other thing I'm finding really interesting is that people are looking at this prototype design that he did for Ford in 1999 and calling it the Apple car prototype.
Yeah. Will this look like the, will this be the, okay, that's ridiculous. Let's talk about Mark first.
Okay.
He, do you remember that red Mac Pro that was sold at the,
yep, the there's Project the red auction? Mac Pro, he did the red table with Johnny Ive also.
Yeah. And he did the, I can't remember the Johnny, was Johnny involved in the red camera? Or was Johnny that Mark only?
I'm pretty sure Johnny was involved in that camera also.
So that Red Mac Pro, that's like the sexiest thing that has ever existed.
Right. And it's really not much more than a Mac Pro that's been painted red.
Yeah, but it was painted red in exactly the right way.
That's true.
Look at the way that I've painted this side here. It comes and you can sort of feel the quality of the redness because it's right. It's beautiful. Oh yeah, oh yeah, look at that red. I can feel that. Yeah, that's right. Good that is.
You totally stepped on what was going to be my joke about Tibetan monks singing chants while the sprayers were going back and forth.
Sorry,
but whatever.
You knew that was coming.
Yes, but I thought I was going to be able to jump in fast enough.
Sorry. Anyway, so
you are
we've got this collaboration stuff that they've done. So not only Apple stuff, but also this, is it Lycra or Lyca? It's Lyca, isn't it?
Lyca. Lycra is spandex-type material.
Spandex, right. Not to be mistaken for the high-end camera maker.
No, I suppose if you really wanted to, you could make a camera out of Lycra. It just wouldn't be very practical.
But it would look fabulous on the dance floor.
Oh, yes, it would. And oh, what a figure it would have.
So they've done stuff that doesn't have anything to do with Apple. They've done stuff together that does have to do with not so much like doing it for Apple, but using Apple products as the basis for making something that's really cool to raise money for Project Red, which is Bono's charity organization that fights AIDS.
Right.
And they're best buds. And when he was hired, I think most people, including me, thought about the fact that he might be working on the Apple Watch that Apple was rumored to be making. The watch that Apple was rumored to be making at that point,
which at the time was a totally reasonable assumption.
Yeah, he's made one. He has a line of watches.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah, he's got numerous companies that he owns. You know, he's designed furniture, he's designed timepieces, he's designed sculpture. He's done a lot of furniture, really. But
there's he's done that couch that I want to sit on.
Well, technically, it's a lounge.
He designed the lounge that I want to sit on.
Yeah, fair enough. And he did the. And we're going to leave that right there, sir. And he also designed those really cool chairs. But then the other thing that he's designed that kind of has a little bit of relevance here is a concept car for Ford. Yes.
Yeah, which he did in 1999.
Yeah.
Now, I look at the card or at the car, and my first thought was, oh, it's a Datsun.
Yeah, it looks like a car. It looks like a cartoon Datsun. It should be in a Pixar film.
Yes, and for those of you that are young enough, Datsun was a Japanese car maker that was bought by Toyota in the 90s.
And no.
they did discount cars.
No, Datsun,
or economy cars.
Datsun became...
they were bought by someone.
No, they just changed their name. They were operating under the name Datsun here, but
really?
Goodness gracious. Professionals here, folks.
That shows you how much of a car guy I am.
History of Datsun.
I do remember they had the little sporty coupe thing.
The Honeybee. Nissan. It's Nissan. They operated as Datsun here in the Nissan? States, but they were always called Nissan in Japan. And the concern was that there was still too much anti-Japanese feelings left over from World War II.
All right. I had no idea that Datsun just rebranded themselves to Nissan, which totally explains why the windows on my Xterra were always crap.
But true enough. But no, what it actually means is that Nissan rebranded itself as Datsun and then took it back.
It's all American.
Just to be pedantically American. Clear about everything. Mostly.
Okay.
It does. It looks like a Datsun from the 70s, but a really cute one. It looks really, really cute. It doesn't look real. It's a rendering. It was a concept. It was strictly a concept. I don't think it was even made.
I'm assuming it wasn't, since all we have is the computer rendering.
Right.
And no one's ever shown photos of it. If they had built a one-off of his car,
that's what
it would have been put on display somewhere.
Yeah.
And there would have been photographs.
You're right. You're totally right. And that's what the mainstream guys would have found. But the thing is that if you look at that product and you look at a lot, not everything, but a lot of the other products that Mark Newson has designed, including his furniture, especially his furniture, you get a lot of the same lines.
Yes, you do. Yeah, there's a lot of this organic curve symmetry, well, an asymmetrical thing going on too. Yeah, he has a distinct look to his design. So it'll be interesting to see if that distinct look would show up in an Apple car design.
And I would think, here's the deal. He's clearly talented enough that he's not a one-trick pony. All his stuff doesn't look like it's the same stuff. But he also has a bunch of things that sort of build on these same premises.
Yeah, there's kind of an organic flow in a lot of his work.
Yeah.
And that does seem like kind of a natural fit for an Apple car. Because Apple would want to design a car with the user in mind.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I have to take us in a slightly different direction. Do you think, are the two of them like side by side working on something, or does Mark have, because he works for Apple now. I mean, he still has his own companies. He still does. I think he's on the board of Quanta, or even like he's in charge of their like guest services or something like that.
Interesting. Yeah, okay.
Something along those lines. I forget the details because professionals, and so he's still doing all that other stuff too. But he's working for Apple, and my question is like, how do you think that works?
I'm assuming that there's a lot of esoteric pointing and yeah happening.
Oh yeah, look at this, eh? Yes. I'll stop.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was visualizing.
I'm wondering if he just
spit
has
it out.
If he does, is he doing his own thing, and then every once in a while Johnny sort of looks in on it, or are they working together? That's my question. Is he in charge of something, or are they working on a project together where like they're truly collaborating?
My guess is that Mark has a project that he's deeply involved in, and that Johnny is very closely involved in that, but they're not working side by side every day.
That would make sense. Yeah, I think that's a solid look. So, and is that thing the car? Is Mark Newsom in charge of is he the point guy on the car?
That would be kind of cool. So yeah, maybe he is.
Wouldn't it be interesting to be a fly on that wall? Hello?
Oh, there you are. Now you're kind of back.
Do we have lag?
You were just gone for a little bit.
Okay, I asked you, wouldn't it be like really awesome to be a fly on that particular wall?
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, actually it would. I would love to be able to just sit in quietly and observe what they're doing. I bet it would just be absolutely fascinating to see the two just getting so deep into their craft.
Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah, can't wait to see what's going to come. This is exciting stuff, man.
This is
exciting stuff. You know what else is exciting?
I have a pretty good idea, and I bet it involves learning.
It does. I say this all the time. We've been lucky, man. We've been lucky. Listen, we do this podcast to help pay the bills at the Mac Observer. We do it because we enjoy it.
That's true. Yeah, this is always a labor of love for us.
Yes. Yeah. This is a fun show to do, and we like doing it. And we so appreciate our great listeners. But we also have podcasts in the first place to help pay the bills. And paying the bills means that we get to bring you content. When we can pay the bills, we can bring you content. We've been really lucky. We've had nothing but great sponsors of our podcast.
That's true.
But even still, I am so excited about these guys. These guys, that's funny. I'm these excited guys. About the folks at lynda.com because they make training videos, video tutorials, where you can learn stuff.
I love how wonderfully accessible they are.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's the deal. All right. Listen, they're sponsors. They're giving us some money, right? But here's the deal. They will let you try all of their training tutorials for free for 10 days.
As many videos as you can pack into your head.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely awesome.
You can watch.
I mean,
you can
think
watch,
of all that learning.
Yeah. You can, it was with the right drugs, you could probably, anyway, you can. That's just a ridiculous path to go down. But for 10 days, they will give you free access to everything they do, meaning that you could just go learn something. All you have to do is you go sign up at lynda.com/ACM, get a free day trial, and go learn something. Go find out how to better use your iOS 8 device, your iPhone or your iPad. They've got one called iOS 8, iPhone and iPad Essential Training. Now, I'm going to bet a lot of our listeners probably don't need something like that.
But they probably know someone who does.
And it turns out that that person can also sign up for free if they, you know, they got to go through lynda.com/ACM and they get 10 days to sign up and do this stuff for free. Speeding up and maintaining your Mac, setting up your mobile office to work from anywhere. Swift Essential Training. Do you want to learn how to program? Swift Essential Language.
There you
training.
Go.
That's Apple's training software. I'm sorry, programming it's software.
It's their programming language.
Yeah, programming language. Thank you. Yeah. Good Lord. Sometimes words are hard. Coakley, they've got, but they've also got like, you know, individual classes on like, you know, Excel and Word and PowerPoint and Keynote and, you know, Apple's iWork suite and Logic and
professional
Pro Tools,
graphic design tools,
Photoshop,
Illustrator,
Dreamweaver, Final Cut Pro. And what's the Adobe one?
The Adobe one. Premiere.
Thank you. You know, one of those programming thingies. And they've got all of this stuff. They've been at this for a long time. They have a lot of material. 3,000 courses
currently. And it's all
taught by
experts in their field.
Yeah. Yeah. All you have to do, go sign up. Go learn a thing. I mean, man, how awesome is it that we get to offer that to people?
It's really cool. I mean, giving people the opportunity to learn something without having to shell out any money to make that happen. That's awesome.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. So anyway, and they're also supporting us. So you should show them some support. Lynda.com, that's lynda.com/ACM. That stands for the Apple Context Machine.
That's very clever.
It is. Or the best coincidence of all time.
Yeah, I've heard it both ways.
Anyway, try them out. 10 days for free. We love them.
And thank you, Linda, for being our sponsor.
Yeah, thank you very, 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 very. It's the best coincidence ever.
Yeah, I love coincidences like that.
All right, we had, there was Apple and privacy. You covered this thing that Tim did.
Yes, yeah. So Tim spoke out at the White House Cybersecurity Summit, which was the end of last week. And he was the only CEO that got up and spoke. And he was pretty clear about wanting to preserve our privacy and backed up what he said before about not wanting to give our personal information over to the government.
Well, and this is very tied into the fact to why he was the only one there, because it's not just the government. You've also got these large companies who believe that our lives are theirs for the selling.
That's true. Yeah, Tim wasn't there with us in mind as the product, which is a big difference from, say, Google or Facebook.
Yeah, or even Yahoo.
Or Yahoo, sure.
You know, any company, it's the whole, if you're not paying for the product, you are the product. And with Apple, we pay for the product. And Apple is seemingly the only major technology company not only who doesn't try to profit from our personal lives, but actively tries to protect our personal lives.
Which is great. I love that. That's Apple's philosophy. Protect our rights, protect our privacy. Don't sell us out.
All right. So it really seems like Steve has been, Steve, what's his name?
Tim. The Tim other guy, Cook. Tim.
Right. Tim Cook. I've heard this guy. It seems like he wants to make privacy a competitive advantage, a selling point for Apple. Right? He talked about it on Charlie Rose.
It late certainly last year. Looks that way. It's interesting that Apple has not presented that in ads.
Right. So he talked about it on Charlie Rose. He talked about it at Goldman Sachs. He said, "None of my business what you buy." Right? He was being asked about why Apple wasn't collecting data from and trying to profit from people shopping data. And he said, "Because it's none of my business."
And I love that response.
Right. And then here at the cybersecurity thing, he said, do you have that quote?
I do, as a matter of fact, have that quote. He has a couple quotes. The first one is, "If those of us in positions of responsibility fail to do everything in our power to protect the right of privacy, we risk something far more valuable than money. We risk our way of life."
I want to. You mentioned ads. I want to see a commercial where Apple says, "Google threatening our way of life,"
with ominous music. Yeah,
very, very ominous music. But I mean, you know, so all of this message was being aimed at the government, but the reality is that this applies to capital too. This applies to corporations. You know, people are just so okay with Google's business model, and they're so okay with Facebook because, you know, it's quote unquote free. And man, it's just, why do people get so tense about the government knowing what we're doing and they're okay with corporations knowing? Well, I don't get that.
I don't get that either. But I do find it fascinating. And yeah, I don't have a good rationale for that, but we see it every day.
And so Tim has been pushing this point in his interviews, but it doesn't ever seem like Apple. Apple has not tried to make this a branding message. Or, you know, they haven't put any advertising dollars about it. It's like, do they just like expect us to get it because Tim points it out?
I don't know. But I have to believe that there is a very well thought out reason for presenting this part of their marketing in the way they are, as opposed to using commercials or billboards or magazine ads.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something there.
Apple, we protect your privacy. No one else does. Oh, I mean, you know, that's a terrible. there's a reason why I'm not Phil Schiller's right-hand man.
Well, you know, at least now we know why.
But I would like to see Apple hammering this point, if not hammering, at least pushing this point outside of the echo chamber. Because the people that pay attention to what Tim Cook says at Goldman Sachs, that's the echo chamber. That's, you know, Wall Street, and there's the Wall Street echo chamber, and then there's the technology echo chamber, which is the blogosphere. And, you know, it turns out most people don't pay attention to either of those things.
Yeah, so why is this not a message Apple is pushing into the mainstream?
One can presume that Apple will at some point. Maybe Apple is waiting for the shoe to drop on these other companies. Can you?
That's possible.
Can you imagine if? I am not wishing this to happen by any. I worry about it happening, but I'm certainly not wishing it to happen. But and I also don't think it will happen, to be honest. But if Google had a major security breach relating to their user profiles.
Oh, that would be horrible.
Yeah. At some point, a government somewhere will find a way to get access to what Google knows about us.
And once they have a way to access it, they will.
Yeah, absolutely. It's only a matter of time. People, you got to protect this stuff, man. You got to, privacy is important. And Tim, what did he say about that? Well, he said like, history.
Oh,
I
have it, and I loved this quote. History has shown us that sacrificing our right to privacy can have dire consequences. We still live in a world where all people are not treated equally. Too many people do not feel free to practice their religion or express their opinion or love who they choose.
Which is, you know, I mean, that's like slow clap worthy. It's not just a great line. I believe that this is something that Tim Cook believes passionately about.
I agree. And I think that passion compelled him to speak at the summit, the cybersecurity summit, when he was invited.
That is probably true. And I also think that it's really clever because, you know, we know that Tim is interested in establishing and protecting the right of gay people to marry, gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very, very clever for him to include in his message by sort of linking the freedom of religion to the freedom to marry. Because
it was very clever.
Because those are, I mean, they are related. You know, today keeping someone from, you know, in the 50s, keeping someone from marrying someone else because of the color of their skin. Today, keeping still, and you know, we're in some places keeping people from marrying because because of their sex is exactly the same sort of thing as protecting people's right to practice their religion. So it's really clever of him to sort of bring that in. And not many people on the progressive side of things have actually done that. They tend to focus on the gay marriage issue and not pointing out that all freedoms need to be protected. All rights need to be protected.
Which is unfortunate because there are people out there that feel like only the rights that they want are the ones that need to be protected.
That's not everyone's
rights.
It's absolutely true. Tim Cook is a smart man.
He's very smart.
It has been stunning what he has done with Apple since he took over.
Yes. And I'm just really amazed and really impressed with what he's been doing as a community leader.
Yeah, that too.
Business leader.
That too. I have a serious question for you.
Okay.
What comes after the Apple car? Because that Apple's not stopping there. That could actually, though, you know what? That might be the project that Tim wants to bring to market under his leadership. That might be the major.
That could be.
Right. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, Apple's going to have something else that they're thinking about past the car for sure. It's what Apple does well.
Of course. And it'll be a market that they feel is ripe for disruption. And they'll come in and shake it up. And the old school will tell them, oh, this isn't a market you should get into. It's a lot harder than you think. And it's established. You can't just be the new kid on the block and come in and expect to have any kind of success. Just like we've heard before and are hearing again now.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. So Tim is in his late 50s, right? 57, I think.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
How old is... You know, it's a good thing we prep all this stuff.
Well, the interns were supposed to take care of this.
Yeah, they should have known that he's 54 years old. All right, so he's in his early 50s. Bringing a car to market, John... What does John think? It's going to be like 7 years?
John thinks 7 to 10 years.
7 to 10 years, and I think they could do it in 4 to 5.
And I called 5.
And Apple is 4 to 5 years from now, by the way, not from the start.
Yeah, I agree.
Apple has been working on this, according to the Wall Street Journal. Apple has been working on this at least a year. But so you know, in 5 years, Tim Cook would be 59 years old. This might be the thing that he's looking as capping his career at Apple, even while Apple continues to work on things behind the scenes for future products. But I wonder what that future product could be, because I wouldn't have gone to cars. We had rumors about cars 2 years ago. I didn't, you know, I LOL.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gone to cars either, but here we are. And so what that tells me is the next market they disrupt is probably some market where when the news comes out, I'm going to sit back and go, really? Just like I did with cars.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be really cool, whatever they do.
And I do still think Apple's going to do something in the TV space. Probably not a television set. I think I was wrong about that. But I think that Apple is going to do something with TVs.
That they have something planned for the entertainment market.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, totally with you on that.
We got to go. We're over time.
We are. Yeah.
So thanks to Linda for sponsoring us.
Yeah, Linda, you guys rock.
Yeah,
and if you didn't write down the URL, it's lynda.com/ACM.
Yep. Yes, it is. And while you're writing down URLs or somethings.
Or somethings?
I'm on the Twitters at TM O'Brien. That's Brian with a Y, kind of like Linda with a Y. And you are at J Gamut.
Mm-hmm. There's no Y in that.
There's no Y in that, yeah. There's not a Y. You don't have a Y anywhere in your name.
Yes, I do. My first name is Jeffrey.
Oh, right. Good point. All right, you're cool. You can stay.
Okay. Whew, that was close. I was one letter away from being kicked out of the cool club.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, so lynda.com/ACM. TM O'Brien on the Twitters and Jay Gamut on the Twitters as well. And I think we can let people go now.
Okay. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And thanks for listening.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer, and our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. Thanks, Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for us. And that's all for this week.
And as always, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer. I think pretty sure that's the first time I've actually gotten my little segue from you to me for our outro, right?